It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network. Here we are with episode 2 of season 3, The Shape of Things to Come, or as I said earlier, The Shape of Things That Are Dumb. I got a lot here. There's a lot of caps locks. A lot of them. And I'm going to read my last one.
The look on your face is like, how do I self-edit?
Yeah. Let me read the last thing that I wrote. This was the last thing I wrote. While I finish the episode.
Okay.
And I'm not going to scream it, but imagine that this is in caps locks and I'm screaming.
Wonderful.
And I said, what is with all of these anonymously evil adults for no fucking reason? I hate this show so goddamn much. Someone please explain the appeal of any of this to me.
I really thought you were going to say, I'm tired of these, you know, motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane.
There was another point in the notes when I wrote, I hate this show. I hate this Dean character. I'm not built for television like this, but I will still see this podcast through to the end.
Yeah, so I completely forgot about this because I think it's just like, it was a memory I did not want to have, but I got to tell you, Matt, it's my favorite game to play. It's like, when did the show jump the shark, right? Did it jump the shark when they shot Trey? Did it jump the shark when the events of the end of season 3 happen? No, they jumped the shark with fucking Dean Hess. Because I fucking hate this guy.
Well, and here's the irony, right? So we've got Dean Hess, who is an actual Dean.
Yeah.
But then we also have Jimmy Cooper, who they're just deaning.
Yes.
Like, I'm just sitting here and I'm watching this show and I'm like, Jimmy Cooper, another one of my probably early favorite characters, out of nowhere is just like all of the character development that we saw throughout the first season and the beginning of the second season just fucking flushed down the toilet.
Making the same fucking mistakes.
Same mistakes. And I'm watching this episode.
Like marrying Julie Cooper.
Yeah. Well, let's see if that even fucking happens, Joe. Because I'm sitting here and I'm watching it. And I have that early knowledge in my brain that there's only a finite episodes that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because he's a guest star now. He's not a series regular anymore.
He's sitting there at the restaurant proposing. He's proposing to Julie Cooper, and I wrote in my notes, I'm partially just expecting Jimmy to get gunned down like a bad mob movie right now. Like, it's just, all he's doing is like digging a deeper hole of debt to a guy who's already said, I have people who will handle this for me.
Yeah.
Which is as clear of an indication as you can get of, I will have you killed. Like, without outwardly saying it. And then this motherfucker's like, hey, can you write me a check for $35,000?
Yeah.
Like, craziness. So, in this episode, the main focus of this episode is that the dean comes in. He's going to determine if Ryan and... Marissa get to attend school?
First of all, I love Eric Mabius, who plays Dean Hess. Eric Mabius, because I'm also a huge Ugly Betty fan, and I feel like there's a lot of crossover at this time, because Alan Dale, who played Caleb.
He's dead and now on a Ugly Betty.
He's on a, but like, I need to look at when Ugly Betty started, because Eric Mabius is like the main guy who plays Alan Dale's son on Ugly Betty. So I wonder what Alan Dale like did in between, what other nefarious patriarch of a rich family he played in between Ugly Betty.
Every once in a while, I have to ask you for a spoiler for just the sake of forward momentum.
Sure.
There are 23 more episodes left in this season.
Uh-huh.
Is Dean Hest going to be there for all 23 of these goddamn episodes?
Oh, fuck no. Fuck
no. Okay, thank God. Like, I was like, I may have to tap out.
It was very like, it was like that moment when you like, when you remember something that you repressed. Like,
okay.
He showed up on the school. Well, first of all, Dr. Kim or whatever her fucking name is, the principal of the school.
Yeah.
She like, oh, and, you know, the dean of discipline, which like.
That sounds like a wrestling name.
I want him to
that
be my
dean. That sounds like
of
what
discipline.
They would refer. That's what they would refer. That is the nickname to a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like in an 80s wrestling federation.
Yes.
A guy called like the scholar.
Yeah. The superintendent of SmackDown, the dean of discipline.
Yeah, he walks in, he's banging a ruler in his hand, and he's got a graduation cap in there. And yeah, like Vince McMahon is just like, here he comes, the dean of discipline, the scholar.
And,
he's
like, and then school's out forever.
And he's breaking a ruler over a wrestler's back. Man,
let me tell you what, jabroni, I'm going to take it to detention right now.
All right, so... That's the whole thing going on. And what the dean decides is that Marissa is no longer welcome in this school and that Ryan can stay. The level of smug douchiness.
Yes.
With every scene with this guy.
Yes.
Every single sequence where he's just like, people don't like what. So I'm watching Abbott Elementary finally after everyone has told me to watch Abbott Elementary. And like the thing that is so beautiful about Abbott Elementary is that it depicts the way that we would hope that teachers are. And for the most part, every teacher that I'm friends with is, which is that you can fix any kid, even a kid who's like a truly bad, maybe comes from a rough home and is aggressive and maybe even attacks his classmates. Like if you put in the time, there's a slight chance that you can turn things around for that kid. So watching a show where the dean of the school's entire perspective is just like, kid with a bad attitude, fuck him. like, I'm just like, I can't deal with this. Like, this is so frustrating. And like,
tough noogies, you little bitch.
Yeah, listen, no one hates Marissa Cooper more than myself. But to sit there and basically just be like, hey, just because you shot your rapist... And because you struggled with addiction and drug problems isn't an excuse. Get the fuck out of my school. I never want to see you again. Like, what? Especially when I'm just like, it's her senior year. Just put up with it for like 6 or 7 more months and then move the fuck on. Like, I was I hated this character so, so much. I think one of my other notes I wrote, this show is genuinely infuriating to watch as a person who is incapable of not caring about things too much. Where it's like, even if I think that this show is stupid and all the characters are stupid, I'm still wildly invested in their lives and get like very upset when scenes like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put on Totally Killer afterwards. I needed to put on something like lighthearted, fluffy, and funny.
You know, like a Kieran Shipka slasher.
Yes. Like I just need it. Something. Now we have, what's the girl, Taylor? Is that the girl who's
Taylor Townsend?
Taylor Townsend. Here's the thing. The show is going to try to paint Taylor Townsend as the villain here for ratting on Marissa to the dean. I just got to say, I feel for this girl. Oh, Joe's disappeared. Hear me out.
Okay.
When she tells Summer, like, do you know what it's like having to do all the grunt work while the supposed president of this club is just fucking around. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I have no problem whatsoever believing that Marissa Cooper was an awful president of this club and that this girl put in the work for 3 years and probably deserves this president, this vacant presidency seat. Now, her methods, everything else, I'm not saying I agree with that, but I'm saying, like, Summer probably shouldn't have fucked around and found out in this situation. This girl has been damaged from 3 years of reporting to the least reliable girl in the world, Marissa Cooper.
Yeah.
And then Summer's just going to fucking powerhouse her way. Like, the whole time that this is happening, I'm watching it, and I'm just like, Summer, don't do this. This
is... Yeah, Summer, you're not on the right. You're not on the right side for this one.
Yeah, not. This is... And who knows? Maybe if Summer didn't do that, none of the other events would have taken place. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, true. It's truly possible.
I really love the line, because I think the line is, do you know what it's like to have all the responsibility and none of the power?
Yes.
And I'm like, because, yeah, at that time, right? In or not at that time, but in, like, high school, things are, it's all a microcosm for the real world. And so, like, you know, you see someone who's very power hungry, who's giving like really like Tracy Flick vibes. Right?
She, know what it is? It's like she's Tracy Flick, but also she kind of looks like the super Jesus-y girl from Freaks and Geeks at the same time. Like, it's like a weird blend of both. When I was in school, I was friends with everybody who was a musician. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget my senior year, how devastated one of my friends was, who like did the school band, worked his ass off, became an incredible trumpet player, made it to the point that he was like a, like, you know, one of the top band kids, was getting a music scholarship, etc. And then for the senior superlatives, it went to a kid who was the singer of a punk band at the school for most musically talented. And like the devastation. The devastation that he felt with like how much work he had put in for 4 years for just like, and it's like one of those things where it's like, does the superlatives like matter? Not really. But when you're an 18-year-old kid who's dedicated, you dedicate it at least, let's say you start playing in fourth grade, 8 to 9 years of mastering a craft for like a dude who just sings in a band that people like to like take that glory from you. Like, it sucks. It's a bummer. It's like a real bummer to deal with. So I get that. I think that's why I empathize with this character of like, she's putting in the work. She's doing everything right. She doesn't complain for 3 years about the lack of leadership that she has to work with. Finally, there is a vacancy for her to be able to step up and take just a little bit of the credit for all of the work that she's done. Mm-hmm. And then this girl's friend who has done nothing for 4 years just steps in and takes that from you. Like, yeah, I'd be pissed too. You know, maybe more happens over the next couple episodes where my tune will change. But
your tune will change.
But
I guarantee it.
With the information I have in episode 2, I think that Summer made more trouble than it was worth.
Sure.
For no reason.
Yeah.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
We're making an ad.
Napping ad.
I hear that Gary Sinise is free.
Oh, okay, great.
He hasn't worked since 2020.
So, what would be the script that we would have Gary Sinise say for the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast?
listen to this damn show. Damn it.
The Napping Through Happy Hour podcast brought to you by Geekscape.
Real life, real drama, real time.
I'm Gary Sinise.
That's the ad. That's the ad. That's the ad.
Can we go back to the fact that they named Dean Hess after like a literal Nazi?
Yeah, I mean that's also, listen, we were talking about Harry Potter last week.
Yeah.
Sometimes shows aren't creative. You know, like they literally named the worst professor Umbridge. Like let's be clear.
Dolores
here.
Umbridge.
I want to talk about the Marissa stuff because this Marissa stuff, or Marissa, I'm sorry, the Kirsten stuff. I want to talk about the Kirsten stuff. First off, the fact that Seth Cohen has to make a starter pack for his own mother is one of the most narcissistic things I've ever heard come out of Seth Cohen's mouth, which is insane. But this, like, hey, you can do a halfway house with me at this, like, secluded beach. This is giving single white female vibes in, like, such a fucked up way.
Is this your horror moment?
That's the horror moment. I'm like, Kirsten, watch it. Maybe you should have watched some of Seth's movies because you would know better than to go to the middle of nowhere with a person you barely know.
Let's just go to Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, who seems fucking unhinged. And I guess that was the other thing I wrote in all caps. Like, I wrote, I'm so annoyed and confused because I have no clue what Charlotte's motivation is still. like, is she someone who just, like, goes into rehab to fuck with rich people? Like, what is Joe, as frustrated and pissed off as this episode made me? Credit where credit's due. When it was over, I wanted to start the next episode just to get some form of closure. Mm-hmm. Because I know the OC. I know that neither one of these subplots is making it to the double-digit episode numbers.
Sure.
Like this shit's going to get wrapped up.
This is, by the mid-season finale, they'll be gone like Alex, right?
Yeah, it'll be far in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean? Like, I know, I've learned that the OC is not a singular season, but five mini seasons shoved into a 25 episode run. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, by episode 5 or 6, I'm sure that one, if not both of these characters that are infuriating me will be gone. But for the time being, I'm really annoyed. And I guess we have, before we completely wrap up, we have to say that the Dean gets inappropriately aggressive to a girl who's already leaving. Like, Marissa's already like, fine, I'll go. And then he grabs her arm. Ryan jumps to her defense, clocks the Dean, and the Dean goes, great, now I don't have to try to find a way to kick you out. Like, he's just like, I was like, it's so anonymously evil. It's so just like, I've already made a decision that I will get you suspended or expelled, but now you've handed the expulsion to me. I don't want to spoil the songs of the episode just yet, but the overwhelmingly sad version of California playing as they're like looking through the chain link fence, I started laughing. It's so on the nose. We've been on the run, driving in the sun, running down the 101.
I'm telling you, it's like this. The season finale should have been these two episodes. Like, we're going to kick off the season. We're going to kick off the season with, you know, a 2-hour season premiere, which I kind of hope that they did do that. Or it's like, we're just giving you two episodes back to back, because like, to have that be the song at the end of the second episode.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird. It is funny that like the Trey story, like it's, they treat it like a big cliffhanger moment at the end of season 2. And like, cliffhanger it certainly was, but nope, they aired them as two separate episodes. First one on September 8th, second one on September 15th. But it's like, I feel like they only used the Trey episode as the season finale and these as the season kickoff, just to make sure that their school time like linked up with the actual dates on the calendar. Like, because this ending feels more like a, ooh, I've got to wait 6 months to find out what happens next.
Yeah.
While like, I don't know, like, I feel like by next week, we're already going to know like what's happening with, I would not be shocked if both of them are back in school by the time episode 4 is over. Like, it's right. it's just like I know the OC. They don't stretch these storylines out very long.
You will we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what, or you know, they go on the run, riding in the sun, driving down the 101. All right, so since we keep singing it, let's talk about the songs of the episode. We've got some pretty heavy hitters in this one. When they're going to get a stack of pre-registration pancakes, we hear Death Cab for Cutie's Soul Meets Body. Cobra Verde's Get the Party Started plays when Summer and Seth are walking around the carnival. When Seth and Summer are getting off of a carnival ride, Franz Ferdinand's Do You Want To is playing. And then, as we said, when Ryan and Marissa are both getting expelled, California 2000, the sad version by Phantom Planet is playing. Joe, I want to ask you what the song of the episode is. I feel like I know what you're going to pick, and it's probably not the same as mine.
I'm torn between two songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick the one that made me go, huh, which is Get This Party Started. Because you barely hear it. You barely hear it. And the cover itself is such like a sleepy, like, get this party started on a Saturday night. Like, it's so,
yeah,
it's so sleepy. But when I heard it, I was like, huh, interesting.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought you were going to go with Sad California. I already made this promise. Every time Death Cab shows up, it's going to be the song of the episode for me, because it just feels like the song that I think of when I think of the OC. And Soul Meets Body is definitely one of my favorite Death Cab songs. So I'm gonna give credit to that one on that. Now, Joe, as you know, when Ryan and Marissa were kicked out,
mm-hmm,
of school, it was all the talk. Every news, pop gossip article was written about it. It was a huge deal. Everyone remembers the day that they heard that Ryan and Marissa were kicked out. So I have to ask, what pop culture moment have you been getting caught up on? Joe, you know, I'll start on this one. Something that people have been telling me to watch for a while. I put it off for a bit. I finally watched it, and it was definitely one of my favorite shows that I watched in 2023, was The Bear. The Bear is a fucking delight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more stressful than I was referring to it as like a more stressful Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
In the sense that I think it hits a lot of like the Ted Lasso people coming together and being like, you know, one full team and all of that stuff. But it's definitely way more stressful. And if you've ever worked any type of kitchen, I've never worked a kitchen quite like that, but I worked the late night cafeteria at a ritzy college for a year,
mm-hmm,
and that sucked. So I feel like it's about the same. There were definitely moments that I had some flashbacks of like, oh, no, I remember these days where we're running out of food faster than we can feed the kids, and the kids getting frustrated and trying to like get everything ready in time. So love The Bear. Totally worth watching. It's like 16 episodes right now on Hulu. I'm sure season 3 is around the corner soon. But watch those first two seasons, get caught up, and enjoy the greatness that it has. How about you, Joe?
Well, one of the gifts that I received this year for Christmas was from the creator of Milk Bar in various cities. But it is, her name is Christina Tosi. And she wrote a cookbook. I think it's her second or third cookbook, but this one is all about cookies.
Okay.
And like last year started kind of like my, what I keep calling anxiety baking, like late at night, just like, you know, can't go to sleep, need to focus on something. And I love cookies. So I was like, I'll just make a bunch of cookies. And so my sister got me this book, which like, I love her because she was like, you know, you can, it's like, I didn't really look in the book. I just knew it was a cookbook and you like making cookies, but it was more of a vessel for gift cards. But
fair. Yeah.
I really fucking love this book. It's also like, it's, and I told her, I was like, oh, you can tell that this is a book made for like intermediate to advanced like bakers, because most the measurements are all in weight. Like all of the measurements are by weight. for like sugar and flour. But I made one of the first cookies I made, or the first cookie that I made, is a butterscotch pecan pudding cookie,
mm-hmm.
which has all three of those things, and the pudding is like instant pudding powder, which gives, like, if the recipe did not explicitly say that it was gonna feel like, it feels underdone, but really what it is just moist and delicious, then I would have like put it in the, I would have ruined them, because I would have put it in the oven for a little bit longer. But man, those cookies were good. And it's that thing where you know you've nailed, like, for me, I know I've nailed a cookie recipe really well when it feels like it's something that I could get at a bakery. Like, I could have paid money for this, but I made it. All and right. So sure. That's my, it's not, it's, you know, sort of pop culture-y, but that is kind of what I'm obsessed with. And I'm about to make, probably by the time I've already, this episode airs, I will have made their cinnamon toast crunch marshmallow cookies.
Oh, god damn.
I know. You know, we're starting 2024 off with type 2 diabetes.
Hey, you know what? It's better than just the regular type 1, I guess.
Yeah, not the Nick Jonas one, right?
Yeah, aim for the stars. Well, Joe, I got a lot of questions. I don't know if I'm going to get a lot of answers, but I am still going to follow these white people problems to the very end to see if I get a couple of them. So hopefully next week there'll be a resolution to all of the white people problems, and then it'll just be a ton of episodes of them having a good time together. I think that's what's going to happen. That sounds like the OC.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.